You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic this month in WordPress and Tech Roundtable Show. It's our regular end of the month roundtable show. We'll have a regular panel and special guests. This is episode 924. We've got some great guests. We've got a friend of the show, Jason Cohen, and we've got Mark Sinansky. I've totally destroyed his hair, mate, but he's got used to it. I'm going to let the panel introduce themselves. We've got some great stories around WordPress 6.6 and the controversy that erupted around this update. We're going to be talking about CrowdStrike. That should be interesting. We got a load of fantastic stories. So I'm going to start with our special guest. Jason, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the tribe?
Sure. I'm Jason Cohen. I'm the founder of WP Engine. And before that, a company called Smart Bear, which is why online I'm a Smart Bear. And it's good to be here again.
Yeah. And I've got Mark. Mark, would you like to introduce yourself to the tribe?
Absolutely. Jonathan, thank you so much for having me. Great to see all you guys. My name is Mark Szymanski. I've owned a WordPress agency since 2019. Started getting really involved in the WordPress community and just trying to understand it and contribute a lot more in the past 12-ish months at this point. So I make YouTube content, met a lot of great people like yourselves, and really excited to be here. If you want to see anything that I do, just go to mjs.bio and you can see all my links there.
Yes, I'm always appreciative of the guests that come on our roundtable show. It's always great to see people that are willing to end their WordPress career. I've got Heather, my friend Heather. Heather, would you like to quickly introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, I am Heather Wild-Renzi. I am the CTO of The Difference Consulting, and I am also known as the Unicorn Whisperer.
And I've got the only Spencer Forum. Spencer, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Spence from WPLaunchify.com. Is my mic working today? Yes, I'm on the right mic, right?
Yeah. You just looking at me in amazement for a few seconds. Yeah, like that.
You hiccuped. I think my internet hiccuped.
Oh, right.
Sorry about that.
Put some change in, will you? Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself, Kurt?
Yeah, Kurt Von Annen, Manana No Mas. Work directly with WP Tonic, good folks at Lifter LMS as well. And we work on membership and learning websites.
And before we go into the meat potatoes of this great show, I've got a couple great messages from our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
Well, coming back, folks, I want to point out we've got some great special offers from the major sponsors, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services for the WordPress professional. You can find all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals, and you can find all the goodies there. What more could you ask for? Probably a lot more, but that's all you can get from that page. Sorry to disappoint, I've made a career of it. So there we go. So let's go right into it. We had a new update, 6.6, with some fabulous goodies. But then there was an eruption on the internet and especially on YouTube. Paul from WP Tuts and Adam from WP Crafter were not that complimentary about this update and where Gutenberg is going. I had my little bit of exchange with both of them. I think they were both very fair in their views. So, Jason, why do you think this update kind of triggered the ongoing criticism of Gutenberg, and what's your own view of this? I don't know what to say about Gutenberg, this kind of quasar train wreck, maybe. I don't know. What's your own views, Jason?
I'm trying to think if there was a release of Gutenberg that everyone loved. And if the answer is none, then I guess either everyone just likes to complain about change and everyone wants it to be something else, even if they can't always articulate exactly what that something else would be, or it's just a wholesale not a good idea, or at least not a good implementation. Hard to tell, actually. There was a lot of things in this release that I liked, too, besides Gutenberg. It's easy to move past things like the lazy loading for embeds or disabling the autoload for large options, because it's like, okay, I guess that sounds good. These are things where even more than 10 years ago, both of these were big speed ups that we did at WP Engine, like the autoload for large options. We actually did a lot of stuff around large options and also auto-loading many options that really helped a lot of people. It's good that that's in core. Or like lazy loading things like even just YouTube videos or whatever. It makes an enormous difference to core web vitals. You can move it by like 20 points on a site that has normal YouTube videos just for that, because it just it's blocking, and then you have the, anyway. So some of these things that sound trivial, they're actually quite good. And so like, don't want to just ignore those. But for Gutenberg, I think, or for WP Admin, which I think is also something people complain about, obviously not the same thing as Gutenberg, but another complaint. And again, well, what would be a good admin screen? Like or design, what would that be? That still supports all the plugins, don't forget. That's part of the problem, is that you have to support everything. There's probably an answer, but I don't see like a really good examples. Maybe I'm just not seeing them. Maybe they do exist. If they do exist, maybe we should highlight them and rally around it and try to move toward that. But if a great alternative doesn't exist, then it's complaining only, and that's less interesting to me.
Well, in some ways, I'm a little bit tired of it myself, but, I think some of the fundamental flaws, Jason, this is only my take on it, is it's through usability and UX failings and just adding more functionality, even though it's great functionality in parts. Some of it, I agree, looks fantastic, but just adding more functionality to a semi-crippled UX usability problem isn't fantastic, in my opinion. What do I know? You know a lot more than me, Jason.
I think that is a good point. The sort of obvious thing to do about that is to declare that the usability of the UX is the most important thing for Gutenberg, and then devote the next release to that. Of course, you need a goal of like, well, what is it that we want to do about it? You know, some people would say there needs to be more accessibility features. Other people would say it needs to be more usable by everyone before we even worry about that. Some might say they're interleaved. So I think you'd need to declare, first of all, that's the biggest problem with Gutenberg now, is not a lack of features, but rather a UX that needs improvement. And then what are we going to do? And then focus the next release on it. So I don't think that's a bad idea at all. I think sometimes things outgrow in features outgrow the usability, and then you say, okay, that's normal, so let's pause the new features and the usability. I think that's a very reasonable thing to declare.
What do you reckon, Mark?
So I followed it pretty closely, saw Paul's video, saw Adam's video, and then Paul did a live stream, Matt and I did a live stream of WP Minute, talked about all this on my live stream this morning. I kind of see a couple different things. I'm not like a huge Gutenberg user. I currently use Bricks for most of the stuff that I do, but I always follow this closely because I want to see how it continues to evolve, because I'm a WordPress fan. But I would say I see kind of a couple different sentiments. Jason, great stuff there as well, because I mean I agree with most of that. The first thing is, one thing that I see a lot of people saying is like they'd like to see more focus on the actual CMS of WordPress, because it's by far like one of the best, or has been one of the best, like historically. So just different CMS features. I feel like that was one of the things I saw. People said, oh, 6.6, all this stuff, which some of them are definitely solid features, no doubt. But then you just see like a lot of Gutenberg stuff, and there's a lot of people not using that stack, so to speak. They're using page builder tools, things like that. So like if you're using WordPress, you're generally using the CMS. So that would affect everyone. So I think that some people maybe felt a little left out with not too many CMS features, particularly there. And then specifically with the UX and UI, obviously that's a big thing that comes up. Had an interesting comment today on the live stream where we're talking about this and the complaining versus like actually getting involved, which is what a lot of the conversation centralized this week about. There is this concept that like a lot of people aren't complaining that are in like the enterprise level. But my question for that is like, if we're democratizing publishing and we want everybody to be able to use WordPress and want it to be easy for everybody, then the question would be, okay, well, there's a large subset of people that aren't enterprise. So like how, I don't know the specifics, but like, I feel like there's a lot of people complaining about the UX and UI. So I love the idea of saying like, hey, next version, we're specifically working on that to talk up to hopefully benefit the people that might be in the weeds a little bit or not know exactly, not be having the best time in the editor and in the FSE experience, so to speak. So I don't know, some thoughts there.
So Spencer, when you get people like Paul and also Adam, these are some of the biggest influencers in the WordPress space, and especially Adam's comments, I thought they were devastating. Basically, I just thought it was a smackdown, you know, where he's basically said, you know, it's great stuff, but you know, nobody's ever going to use it, and here's the figures that proves that nobody's ever going to use it. You know, I just thought it was devastating myself. What's your own view, Spencer?
I have three takeaways real quick. First of all, regarding Adam or Paul or Jamie or anybody else, I mean, I think it was remarkable, I agree, that Adam, who I'm pals with, drink bourbon with, hang out with at WordCamps.
I'll get on with him. Some people don't get on with him. I'll get on with him, okay?
This is the first time ever in all the 20 years I've been around WordPress that I've ever seen Adam come out with a video where he had to double back on himself, which is to say, he usually comes out with, and WordPress 6.6 is a game changer, and here's the reasons why. And it's always an upspin because he is really good at explaining that to his audience. This is the first time, there was at least three or four points in his videos where he was kind of face palming. And I thought that was remarkable from an objective standpoint, because for a guy who makes his living and encouraging people to see how awesome this platform is, that says a lot. The things that he pointed out and the other people pointed out, number two, and I think with relation to Jason, one time you and I had an email, and I don't want to say anything privately, but you said because of your success and where you focus in the enterprise, like if it doesn't move the needle like $100 million, it's not interesting, which I think is fair to say because of the success of WP Engine. But for the rest of the users, I think the things that came out here are exemplary of a core problem, which is we all drive cars. I got in a girlfriend's car that's a 2024 Audi or something. The controls in the dashboard had no relevance to previous metaphors of what controls in a car are supposed to do. It took me like 8 minutes to figure out how to put it in reverse. And I'm a guy who used to fix cars. When you take an established platform and the metaphors of how the interface works, and you just randomly start throwing shit in. Like, why is the primary real estate at the top of the user interface now a shortcut thing? Like, literally, then people become frustrated. It's like all the cars suddenly reverse the gas and the brake pedals just because some kid decided that was smart. Number three, about who is using it and why. I myself have publicly come out and said, I've moved beyond the drama of WordPress, because one of the things I know for a fact is when you go in and try to participate at the technical level, if you participate in the developer discussions where they exist, and you have some developer chops, you do, I do, a lot of people do, but I also focus on the business. You realize the frustration of trying to participate where those people either are deaf to what you're saying, not interested in the end use of how the customers you involve yourself with are actually going to use it, or just literally don't understand the concept. And I feel like to a certain extent, that has escaped the building. That's never going to return. The days of having a meaningful impact on the development of the core are over. And the tools that they use are beyond the scope of any of us to care. So last bit, I saw a very interesting experiment today. I think it was on Twitter feed or something. Somebody was experimenting, like, what if they could disconnect Gutenberg and how much of the original core would still function? And I think that's actually one of the cool things about open source software is the fact that that's at least accessible and people will just figure out what they're going to do with it. But the days of us agreeing on what we're all going to do, I'm cynical of that. There's no way.
I don't really see. I think that's a red herring. But Heather, why are the leadership of this project and the leadership of Automattic so determined to be so deaf about a community that only wants the best for WordPress? What is it about them that makes them so deaf to the obvious?
Well, I mean, it's obvious to you, but it's not obvious to them. Remember, Automattic is a company that has to listen to their investors and shareholders. And I mean, they're there to make money. While it started out as a like open source, like, I mean, and part of it is open source. And that's where it always comes into a problem. The community is open source. The company is not. And so Automattic doesn't have to listen to the community. They don't. It's, if it doesn't affect, I mean, if it goes counter to their profits, then it's not going to.
I would have thought a decent use interface and a decent usability experience isn't counter to making more money ever.
But usability for who? In this update, one of the most important features that I've been wanting for a long time is there the rollback for plugins. Like, I mean, people have been asking for this forever because, I mean, something that the community has been putting in that has been dangerous, like just updating their plugins, like, things that are like passing through, like from Automattic standpoint, they like if something causes a problem for their customers, you need to be able to automatically roll that back until you can test it to make sure. And I mean, I don't know how many of us, probably everybody, have like had their site taken down by a plugin that has been screwed up. And so like this update has actually done more good just from that one thing alone, not just the lazy loading and the caching and all the other things. So, I mean, I think people are arguing for points that are not financial.
I wouldn't really agree with that, but I see where you're coming from. So, Kurt, you know, what was so insightful for me, Kurt, is that, like, Paul is a much more fairer person than me. He's much more, you know, and Adam is a much more effective in business individual than me, and he certainly ain't a fool. And when you get these type of people, they're not loud mouths. You know, they're quite rational in their own ways. When they are so brutal about what they say about a project that's 6 years that can't get its act together, can't produce a decent interface, can't produce something that's usable. What is the basic problem, Kurt?
So all these brilliant minds on the screen and you're asking me what the problem is.
Well, I'm honestly asking it because I don't understand what is the problem with Automattic and its leadership. I don't get it.
I have this kind of almost counterintuitive thought about WordPress, and I think I've said it before on the show, but I feel like we've heard people say we should focus on simplicity and UX and simplicity and simplicity and new users. And to a certain extent, I really agree with that. But then we also want all the bonuses and features and things. And I've often thought, why do I get the impression that WordPress is almost competing with its partners that make tools that create the functions that advanced users want? Like the rollback feature. We all know there's a plugin we can install that'll help us roll back plugins. And so I always ask myself, like, maybe WordPress really should develop on two platforms. They should have WordPress Basic, which comes with every installation of WordPress. And then they should have WordPress Advanced, which does the things that like was in the video with Tuts, where it's like you activate WordPress Advanced and then all of those UX features that he had to click on, you know, each time you wanted to use them, those are just expanded full time all the time because that's a feature of that plugin. But it's and that's when you get all these added features. Like I was excited about the negative space that you could do, right? The negative margins. And but why am I excited about that? I've got access to three different page builders that do the same thing. So why does it have to be in core? It doesn't have to be in core. We have this amazing support network of all these extra tools that do the things that we want to do. And there's a reason why we're experts in the field. We know where those tools are, how to implement them, and how to serve our clients.
Yeah, I think it's great inputs. I've never known a period of such frustration with the leadership of WordPress. When you get people like Paul and Adam publicly saying what they're saying and other people, I've never known a period of such frustration with the way this project is being managed and moving forward. And something's going to have break. Something's going to have to happen.
Well, maybe it's the open source nature. You know, if you consider the difference between a flea market and a platform, all the other SaaS platforms effectively decide which features get put into place. And even with a Shopify where you can get third-party apps, those only work through subscription models and APIs. WordPress is the only place where, again, all of us have talked to Matt in some way or another about it. He has decided, and the group as a whole has decided, that the flea market will remain open. So when you have a car maker that essentially is trying to make cars and the core of the car, at the same time, people are allowed to make parts that can be at their own discretion added in, worlds collide all the time. And no manufacturer of cars does that. They allow aftermarket stuff, but they don't actually acknowledge those as like official stuff. Whereas here, we've got this weird hybrid. There's relationships of some stuff is inside of the documentation. Some of it's inside the WordPress.org site. Some of it ends up inside of Automatics relationships. And other stuff has to fend for itself. And it creates a lot of tension.
I see where you're coming from, Spence, but I think that's a default set of issues to having a really reasonable, coherent interface and UX design. I think that's a whole very legitimate point, but I think a lot of the frustration is in a really things that could be fixed.
Yeah, but I mean, look at just FSC versus Gutenberg versus Classic versus whatever. Just the fact that FSC, which was a big part of Paul's conversation and Adam's conversation, the fact that FSC has proven statistically, and Jason, I'd love your opinion on this because I know you're a man of statistics. The uses of FSC demonstrate it's dead. It's dead on arrival. It's dead, dead, dead. It's not lived up to anything. And my argument is because it is such a failure of understanding people's ability to follow the breadcrumbs from Classic to Gutenberg Blocks, then Gutenberg Blocks living in another different environment where they act differently with templates and themes. And you have layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. And a normal person who comes into Wix or Weebly or Squarespace or Shopify, they go, here's the interface. In WordPress, you have to know this 20-year history of where to follow the breadcrumbs. It's like Dungeons and Dragons. What's your thought on that? Because I think that's the failure. The failure is leadership thinks full site editing is still a real thing. And certain people like Jamie Marslin are carrying the flag, God bless him. But the rest of us are like, blocks are okay, but like beyond blocks, everybody else loses the thread.
I think it'd be useful, and everyone can have an opinion, but I guess I'm saying for the project to pick apart the things where there's clearly two sides to it. So I'm like less interested in that, and where I don't think there's two sides to it. There's just something that needs to be done. So for example, this question of Should they add negative margins as a feature? Because a plugin also can add negative margins. And it's like, well, with that argument, they should never add any features ever because a plugin could add it. It's like, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like a good policy. It could be, but then courses shouldn't change at all, which is okay. Like that's sort of the Salesforce mode. That's okay. That's a strategy. It's not clear that that's the right strategy for WordPress, the project though, to record it, just not change ever because there's plugins. So I'm less interested in the whole, like, there's a plugin that happens to do it, so we shouldn't add a feature. I'm like less interested in that argument. But the issues of UX, I think you can't ignore them. It's not easy to use, period. Like you said, like full site editing as a concept, of course, you just said people go to Wix and Squarespace and get it. They get the ability to edit their full site visually. So I think it's actually quite clear that the majority of people want what we would call full site editing as a concept. But the UX is super confusing because it's legacy, like you say, and it's patched on and so forth. So to me, like the question of, is Gutenberg a good user experience? Is full site editing a good user experience? You can't possibly say yes. Like, there's no way you could say yes. So to me, that's an interesting place to that would be nice for the project to focus on, to say, okay, there's debates around, we could have debates around a particular feature being in or out of core, but I don't think anyone could debate is this UX is not good and we need to use user studies and design and stuff to make it good. And I even am fine with like, well, full site editing is still born, but it should be good. So it's still the right strategy to make a good full site editing experience to go up against the likes of Wix, Squarespace, and Shopify and Webflow. That's still what we should do. And what it lacks is not features, but user experience. And so that's what we should focus on. Like, to me, that would be a simple statement, a good one. And it doesn't throw away the current strategy. It doesn't throw away Gutenberg. It doesn't even throw away the concept that full site editing is a good strategic direction for core. So I think that would be great. I think that would be a simple message, obviously not simple to execute, but a simple message, which is what you need, because then you can focus on that problem only. Also, there's also another thing that's come up here as well, which is, well, there's other products where you can build your site in WordPress. What about them? Maybe WordPress core should only work on things that everyone can use, including if you don't even use Gutenberg. But to me, again, like, that's fine. Like, that could be the strategy, is that core should be in the background and do almost nothing. It's a perfectly fine strategy. But also perfectly fine is to say, but Matt said years and years ago that that's not going to work in the future. And so here we are in the future where that's not working as well. Well, that's what we said years ago. Like, what are you complaining about? Now, you could say, I didn't like that you made that choice. Like, okay, but it was a choice made in public consistently. So, like, the real problem is that Gutenberg and full site editing is not as good as we need it to be. That's the problem. Yeah. Not that, oh, you know, there's and some other site builders that said that we also need to support, like, not necessarily. So again, like, I can see either strategy being fine. I'm not even arguing whether we should or shouldn't do that, but like, I can see that either way. And if we want to say screw them because Gutenberg and then full site editing is how WordPress is going to work, everything else is going to be a hack and a bolt on. So if that doesn't work that well, where they don't get a lot of features, right? No kidding. Cause they're the ones that are the hack and the bolt on. So of course that I'm okay with that. But to say, like, here's the future, and also we're not going to address the user experience. It's like, I don't know how you can defend that one. That one just seems like there's no counter argument to, let's just keep having an objectively poor user experience. I can't see that.
It's just bonkers. On to the next story. That's not WordPress, but in its own way is totally bonkers. Angry admins share their CrowdStrike outrage experience. Well, this is a cybersecurity company that managed to take down a lot of companies' IT backbones and computers and just basically caused a lot of problems. So, however, I think it's just one of the biggest cock-ups. I've read some articles and watched some people that explained what this company did. I'm not going to say, I'm going to leave it to you, Heather, but I just think it's one of the biggest cock-ups I've ever heard of. What do you reckon, Heather?
Well, one of my favorite memes was that Y2K finally came 25 years late. It's kind of a lot of things went wrong. A lot of things went wrong. But it's not the first time this has happened. A friend of mine that is also in cybersecurity, he was like, he has like taken to sandboxing every one of his computers in his company because he's caught so many updates like this recently where it would have bricked 10,000 machines in his company. And it's so bad. I mean, you finally see like that Armageddon is going to come and take down like all the machines on the planet. I mean, and it's not that like Macs are inherently better than Windows machines, because there's things that can brick a Mac like as well. Like, I mean, if Apple sends an update and is like, oh, well, it's a forced update, the problem is that this is a company that the most like most important.
Do you think they were paid by the Russians?
No. But I mean, like this is like infrastructure around the world requires cybersecurity. Like, and
when I first heard of this, Heather, I thought, yeah, it's probably the Russians. I don't think this company. That was English sarcasm there.
Yeah, no. But I mean, it's just all like we've been told for a long time, and like as a cybersecurity person, like I've been like I say this over and over that like. You need to, like, the more important your infrastructure, the more it needs to be shored up. However, they broke so many rules by, like, I mean, pushing an update on a Friday without having it go through proper testing, without having it, I mean, like, by, like, force pushing it to people without, I mean, like, there were just many things wrong with.
Well, I'm going to defend Microsoft. I never thought I'd do this.
No, it's Microsoft.
It wasn't Microsoft.
No, it wasn't Microsoft. Because Microsoft, you know, they got kernel access. They're a preferred vendor. They hatched because they need this access. I did a bit of a dive on it.
Yeah.
And I think Microsoft tried their best to accommodate than the, but these people pushed it. They pushed it way out. You know, they were in bonker land. It was a hand grenade just waiting to explode, and it did explode. You know,
yeah.
So, Jason, what do you reckon? I reckon. I don't know what the future of this company, but would you have a lot of confidence in them if you...
Yeah, who cares? Like, what's funny about this to me is...
what are you saying?
So, of course, they shouldn't have had this failure. Of course, it shouldn't be Friday. Of course, it shouldn't be forced. Of course, they should have had better tests. Of course, right? So, like, let's set that aside for a minute. Let me take the other side. You're the IT person at a company. Well, not the... You have a team of IT people at a company with 10,000 machines, and you allowed new software to be pushed out to all machines that has kernel access, and you just did it all at once? You didn't roll that out slowly? You didn't do that in some... I mean, you always do. Like, even at WP Engine, we would never push something out directly. Like, that's bad IT. Even in the article that we referenced here, the IT people, they're complaining, but some of these machines are remote. It's hard for us to go in there and update it because they're... We don't have physical access. Duh. Like, that was true before. How is this CrowdStrike's problem? You have lots of software running on that. Do you just let Windows push out updates? What if Windows update hurt that remote machine? Then what's your excuse? It's now Windows' fault? How much software do you have running there? And as an IT person, you have no responsibility on, like, what's there and how to unbrick a machine that you're controlling it? Like, to me, that's actually, like... It's very convenient. I mean, I would do the same thing probably. I would just blame CrowdStrike for a bad update. But if someone pushes a bad plugin to WordPress, that is bad. And it's the plugin's fault that they bricked your WordPress and that's fine. Like that doesn't take away from that.
I do want to point out something.
If you can't roll your WordPress back when there's a bad plugin, then that's a bad administrator who's not able to undo their WordPress install. Like, so it, yes, it's the plugin's fault, but like, you're not a good administrator if you're like, oh, we're screwed for days because we don't have a way to update a remote machine. We've solved that problem decades ago. Decades.
Yeah, but a lot of companies have let go of their IT teams and are now using remote administered IT as a service.
That's not CrowdStrike's fault.
No, it's not. I'm not saying it is.
That's what I'm saying. Bad IT. So it doesn't absolve CrowdStrike from all the stuff. I'm not saying that. But actually, this is bad IT.
I see where you're coming from, Jason. I have to think about what you've just said. But Mark, I do take into what Jason, because he's much brighter than me, but I do think this company had kind of a bit drifted, run, really. I don't know. What do you reckon, Mark?
It's an interesting situation. I was only 4 years old when Y2K happened, so I can't really comment on what that was like. But
it makes me feel like Mark. Thanks. You're coming back next month for sure. Thanks a lot for that, Mark.
But I see it from all sides. My favorite meme was the one that maybe was like an article or some parody meme where it said, CrowdStrike is giving $10 to every company that was affected by it as a gift card or something, gift voucher. That was pretty funny. I see both sides though. I think Jason brings up a good point there. I definitely think CrowdStrike should have done a little more due diligence, and I think there's probably some negligence there, as Heather said on a couple of those pieces. But I also think I really like the idea of also being personally accountable. Like, yeah, you could definitely complain about that. You know, hey, CrowdStrike screwed up. But at the same time, I totally agree with the fact that I think WordPress example is a great thing. If my stuff gets messed up, it's like, oh, they did it, but I could have maybe been better or had a better way to roll it back. I wouldn't specifically though, to Heather's point, wouldn't go at the IT people necessarily. I think there's just that nuance. That nuance is important. Like, if the company did destroy their internal IT team and they're using an outsourced thing, and there's a lot of different nuances there that could have been where the actual pieces of blame could be. It's a tough spot. I don't know.
So, Spencer, I was watching a couple of videos from one of the old school Windows engineers that helped build NT, and he was describing the need for them to have admin access to the kernel and the different elements, and I was following it. I was thinking, you can understand why they needed access and that. And I do understand what the points Jason were making, but I just felt it was just a hand grenade waiting to happen. I don't know what they thought was going to, I don't know. What do you reckon, Spencer?
I mean, I find this fascinating from afar because it demonstrates a bigger problem. So three parts interesting to me. Number one, the way that this reveals to all of those nefarious entities interested how vulnerable our entire business infrastructure is, that 40% of all corporations, including banks, hospitals, airlines, trains, planes, cars, literally, I'm about to do surgery. Oh, blue screen of death. It's like that scene from that parody movie last year where Windows doesn't update when the comet is coming towards the planet. Damn you, Microsoft. But this was CrowdStrike. What? Point two, to Jason's point. CrowdStrike CEO took $2 million plus dollars last year in cash and $44 million in bonuses, $46 million of compensation. At the same time, in 2023, allegedly, they laid off hundreds and hundreds of Q&A workers and processors who would otherwise do these things, as you suggested, a normal company would do. Like, hey, why do we not force a kernel BSOD type of update all at once? It's because the babysitters were fired, probably to pay for the CEO. Number three, fuck this whole setup, because this demonstrates how vulnerable the United States is, that these two factors, that a company and this corporate shareholders can force all common sense to go out the window in order to give it to one dude who then goes around giving out Starbucks cards after the fact. And by the way, Mark, I still have a pair of socks that are from your 2000 when you were born, and they still are good. And Marie Kondo told me they bring me joy. But here's the thing. I remember Y2K as a gigantic farting sound in the wind after 2.5 years of nightmarish panic. It was just, oh, well, there's $1 trillion of wasted energy. You know what we could finally do in this country is learn how to be preemptive, like the Japanese culture, and think 10 years, 15 years ahead of time instead of pleasing shareholders today.
Oh, I think Kirk's worked for a couple of major Japanese corporations. I think he could tell you a few things.
Well, I'm just saying, the cultural difference is obviously we're American, so we're not going to do that. But I'm saying, like, we could be a little bit like, let's plan for common sense. And the last thing, responsibility of the companies themselves. What I think this is going to do, maybe, you're running an airline that has ticket desks. Guess what? Turn off the forced updates of things so that it doesn't crash your architecture. If you're running a hospital, to Jason's point, turn off the thing that Windows updates.
Don't even allow it. Or would we switch it off? We will.
It wasn't a Windows problem. This was not a Windows problem. And it was ironic because as a developer, I thought it was curious. Some guy did a breakdown. It's like a null value should have been zeros instead of whatever. And it's like, think about some hacker figures that out and he blackmailed the whole United States. Like,
do you think the CEO of this company's taking a flight to Russia?
It's $36 million. He'll never get any responsibility laid on him for this. If they give him a golden parachute, he's off to his next $50 million.
I'll take my head in shame if I was running that company. I've got to be honest about it. If I was Japanese, I'd probably commit suicide. You know, God almighty. But there we go. What do I know? I'm an idiot, so I think we're going to go for our break, folks. It's been an interesting discussion. I can tell Jason's wondering why the hell I came back on this show. I can see it in his eyes. You recover, Jason. You're Mr. Reasonable. We're going to have our break. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. We've had a feast of insight and knowledge from the panel, and little of that from me. But before we go into the other half of the show, I want to point out, if you're looking for a great hosting partner that's got some great deals for you, the WordPress professional, why don't you look at becoming a partner with WP Tonic? We've got some great packages. We specialize in membership and community websites. We're a great partner. You can find more by going over to wp-tonic.com/partners. wp-tonic.com/partners. We'd love to do something special. On we go. Oh, yeah, this guy, I'm sure Jason will have something to say about this. Excited news. Yeah, sure. Buddy Boss is joining the Olsen Motive family, the chocolate factory. So, Jason, was the cockles of your heart warmed when you heard this news? I'm sure it was.
I'm sure Spencer's probably the one that's going to have the most biting remarks about this. Whenever there's an acquisition of a small company, the conversations are always the same. And I always go and think about the founder and all the stories I know. You know, I've been writing online about startups for almost 20 years. And so I wish I was born in 4 years before 2000. That'd be great. I've sold my own companies.
Sorry.
And we've acquired companies. And I've invested in companies, and those have been sold or attempted to be sold. And also just a lot of stories from people who have sold companies or tried to, sometimes in WordPress or outside. And one thing I know for sure is you don't know what's going on in that company. You don't know what's in the founder's mind. You don't know what they're experiencing. You don't know how the company's doing. Even the employees don't know, because they're often not told exactly. And so there's always the same kinds of things. There's congratulations for doing it. There's people saying you're a sellout. There's people saying you should have stayed independent. There's people that say you shouldn't sold to that person. There's people that say you should have waited. You should have gotten more money or less or a different kind of money. And so often, and I don't know the founder, so I don't know. I have no insights. I'm not telling any secrets out of, or anything like that. It's just often things are not going as well as you think, and the sale's better than nothing, or they are going really well and they're kind of selling on an upswing and it's better to sell than to risk, or the founder's just wants to do something else or is burned out, or there's all kinds of things that could be happening. And I think it's, for me anyway, I've always reverted to congratulations. I hope everything's great. I hope this is a good net experience. And that's it.
Well, that's so sweet of you, Jason. I appreciate that. No, to be truthful, Jason, I thought they did an amazing job keeping it all going. I think they grew the company. But I have no idea how they were dealing with the technical overhead of a community platform that, and then bolting a mobile app plus all the other bits that were, and their unrealistic hosting expectations, and how they managed to keep it all going and grow it. I take my hat off. I have no idea how they did it in some ways. So, Mark, what's your thoughts about this? Please have some thoughts, Mark.
I got maybe a couple. I don't know. I mean, I've used BuddyBoss, actually used it on a couple client projects. Really impressed with the concept, because when you think about like the community aspect of it, you can either go closed source or you can build something like this that's more at least on an open source platform like WordPress. I would agree with what you said there, Jonathan. They're extremely ambitious, and I've heard differing things about like the technology, like the actual code and everything like under that. So I don't know enough about that, but like having that app infrastructure and the hosting and all that's very interesting. I would just say that what Jason said is extremely insightful, and I would have to say is definitely true. It's either you're selling at a time that's tough, or you're selling on an upswing. I will say what I took away from this article is I don't know the gentlemen that are referenced in here, but it does sound like they have their hosting company. They're going to do that. So maybe they're just like tired. Maybe the founders are kind of also a little bit tired. They're going to the next chapter of their life. At least that's what I took away from this. Maybe it was just time for them to go work on their... Maybe they think I think it's managed hosting. Maybe they feel like that's just where they want to spend most of their time and just do the next thing. So be interesting to see how Awesome Motive, I guess the chocolate factory, evolves with BuddyBoss now. I don't know.
Willy Wonka's empire grows just, some more. There we go.
Yep.
Yeah, there we go. You can send me another letter if you want to. I've got them pinned to the wall, actually, some of these letters. There we go. He doesn't like me too much, Jason, but there we go. You can't be popular with everybody, can you? It doesn't bother you, does it, Jason? So, Heather, what do you reckon, Heather? I thought, they're all selling out to the chocolate factory, aren't they, Heather?
Yeah, every time I see another one of those pop-ups from WP Engine, or not WP Engine, from... whatever I sorry.
The Freudian slip, yeah.
No, whenever I install Monster
Insights. He likes you now, he's gone off your head.
Whenever I install Monster Insights, it's like, do you want to install these other, 300 new things?
Deep Prod is the number one page builder in WordPress.
No, do not.
You're making me hot and bothered there, yeah, over thinking of all these pop-ups.
No, but I mean, it's just, oh my God, please just stop. And then one more.
That's what I thought for years. Please stop. No.
And then when one of my team accidentally clicks the pop-up the thing, and then I have to go through and uninstall Optus.
Is that a sackable offense? Touch you when it wants to buy new plugins.
And then you have to go into the back end too, because even when you uninstall it, it still has the hooks in the actual file directory. No, please go away. So, it's terrible.
They care. They really care about providing a really great user experience for the WordPress user, don't they? They really do. It's on the top of his list. He really cares about WordPress, doesn't he?
But Monster Insights is good. All the rest,
I like Spencer's new name. Seed prod.
Something changed my name. Wait, we were just talking about automotive. How did that happen?
Oh, God.
That is phase two.
So, what do you reckon, Spencer? What do you reckon, Spencer? Did this news fill you with delight and
such a sad situation?
So, I produced a few videos this week. Couple points for me are important. First of all, I made a vow a couple years ago, and you guys were on the show with me, and then it became closer and closer. This year, I vowed to do the thing to fix WordPress for those people that follow me, because I think we've reached a point we talked about earlier in today's conversation where those of us who've been around long enough, I recognize that I can just do what I want with this, and I can stop pretending like I'm going to change half of the internet or the core team. Like, the kids today can play with their toys and I can use what I want from my 20 years experience and my, I don't know, 50,000 or so customers to say, I'm just going to do what I want to do.
You could be the granddad to Mark.
What I want to do is act as not like Don Quixote or Robin Hood or like, you know, some hero rescuing people. What I want to do is act as a voice of reason, a very crowded space of non-reasonable behavior by mostly corporate entities. Now, one of the things that comes from that is that Syed, and I spoke to him publicly about this, and he took no responsibility for anything. He is undeniably successful. He has undeniably got him the means, the motive, the effort to achieve whatever he seeks out. However, in the public space, historically, any student of history understands that you cannot look to Marie Antoinette, Julius Caesar, look to any modern politics. You cannot be in a life raft of human beings where one side is the haves and the other side are the people that used to have a reasonable situation. Now they're starving and have knives in their hands. And I feel like for those people who make their livelihood and trust a company, that the corporate mindset of crush your client's spirits, give them deceptive business practices, spam the hell out of them, 7-step cancellation processes, all the things that he thinks are good for society. I am going to be on the other side of the table using open source on the legal side, the ethical side, the moral side to say, no, I don't think that's the way it should be, but I'm not going to do it because I'm going to argue with him in public anymore. I'm going to do it because I'm going to demonstrate by shining the light of day on these practices. And the things that he's doing is wrong, but not by buying the companies. It's that all of us are making jokes because we all know it's true that every one of his companies that he buys becomes part of a larger engine that is creeping into, for the uninitiated WordPress users, making them think that's what WordPress is. Like, we all thought it was great when Netflix, everything you can get in one place, and Prime and Hulu. And now years later, they're all doubling back on us. Like, I've got ads in Prime and Netflix raised their prices, and this happens in CRMs too, like ActiveCampaign keeps doubling, tripling, quadrupling their prices for the same things that demonstrate success. So my point is this: God bless Syed and Awesome Motive. I know Michael Eisenwasser is a Chicago guy. I knew him when he started it. I cut my teeth in WordPress coming in from social networking space with lots of VC money and, you know, all the freemium stuff, the other world that existed before this. And I came to WordPress for one reason, because back in those days, the 100 millionaires like ran companies like Ning, violated people's trust as human beings. They doubled back on him. And I made a vow never to do that again. When I see it happening now, I'm not going to argue with him, but I definitely feel it's going to be his own undoing.
I just take the mickey out of him. That's all I do.
One other thing. The other thing I want to put out there.
Hurry up.
Make you upset, but it's that look at what the FCC is doing, or the DOJ, where companies like Adobe last month did some really naughty stuff
by changing terms of service, saying you've been using our stuff, and if you don't continue,
I'm so shocked and horrid.
Well, I'm saying that when you become big, you become a target, and you become a target for prosecutors and regulators and lawmakers and other people. And I'm just saying, like, what is the reason for that? How much success is enough for Syed and Osomotive? Do they have to win at all costs? As far as Michael and Tom, I don't know why they sold out, but I would guess they wanted to take some money off the table and go do other stuff, because Buddy Boss is a great framework. But man, oh man, is it a jungle in there. It's a jungle of 15 years of like piecing together stuff, and it's every day a grind. And I live in that world, but I wouldn't want to be in their shoes either.
No, I don't know how they managed it, but they managed it. They managed to build a really, I'll give them kudos in managing to do it. I'm amazed, actually. And we specialize, and Kirk knows, you know. On to the next story, only a small one, but we're listening strong. Meta opens door to research on Instagram's impact on teens. Yeah, sure. However, what do you... it's a bit like the wolf having access to... door, isn't it, really?
No doubt.
Which story?
number four, Meta.
Yeah, I mean,
to research.
Yeah, so basically they say that, social media bad, that teens and kids on the internet are being exposed to scams, sex, and other bad things, especially because they're being unsupervised. Big surprise. Yay. This is one of the reasons why, people in, Silicon Valley,
I realized now, Heather, that if only I had been totally ruthless, totally uncaring about, have no conscience, I could have made so much money ever. But these laxical elements of my personality, having a conscience, and they're just, they just held me back ever,
I mean, it's a bad... there's a bad element online, and kids are going to find it. Kids are very impressionable. And I mean, like I said, there's for years, it's been an open secret that people that work in these companies do not let their kids online. There's a reason for that. And I coming from this area, have advocated strongly to my friends to also limit screen time, limit online time, let your kids use computers, but don't let them go on the internet. Or at least not unsupervised, used. And so it's difficult to when you're impressionable, and people don't even realize that you're impressionable. Your mind is still growing all the way up until your 20s. So that's why there's a lot of people that are falling prey to these scams, and it's bad. This article is basically saying it's bad. It's all bad. It's terrible.
So Kirk, what did you reckon about this?
This is one of those things I really don't have much of an opinion on.
Go on, have an opinion, Kirk. Go on, go for it.
Look. No.
You're not gonna have it.
I use the product. I kind of sell the product.
You're so much wiser than me. That's why he helps me out.
Money with the product. I make customers happy with the product. And as long as the product keeps coming, I really don't have an opinion on it.
Right. So let's go to one of these younger people that are supposed to have been corrupted by it. Mark. My grandson, Mark. So have you been corrupted? I think so, don't you?
You can make your own assumption there. I definitely think that there are some terrible things online, so to speak. And I definitely think that trying to think back to my younger youth, still youthful, I guess. But I think that's what Heather said. I've heard that. I mean, there's literally interviews where Facebook executives are like, yeah, we don't let our kids on here, stuff like that. So I think there's definitely a lot of merit to that. I mean, I don't, know specifically if they do these, you know, this research, if it's actually going to, they're actually going to do anything. I feel like these algorithms are so, so powerful now. If you're on there just scrolling, it knows so quickly like what you are somewhat interested, what you like and everything that, you know, I literally this weekend, I was just like talking to a friend and it's totally different. Like the things that are trending for him are totally different than the things that are trending for me. And we're adults. So let alone if you're a kid and it's like male versus female, different political takes, like whatever it is, they just know so quickly. And then they just keep feeding you that. And depending on where they kind of want to take you, I don't know. I don't know if it's actually malicious. If there's any actual malicious intent, it's probably just all fed by like what you said, Jonathan. Just like we want money, we want more money, we want more screen time equals more money equals more advertising. You know, like it just it's a chain like that. So
it's all about the green, baby. It's all about the green.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully, it gets better. I guess.
Sorry, Jason. I've got mixed feelings about this because in some ways I think social media platforms get a bad rap really because, and so I'll give you this example. Kurt going to go off. It's a bit like, you know, when they were, you know, you got the printing press and you can print Bibles instead of handwritten them. And the word of God will be English. Though you'll be able to print Bibles in English and everybody will learn the word, you know, the Lord's word, and it was going to make society so much better. And then you ended up with the 30-year war and people being, you know, Catholics, Protestants, people being tortured, butchered left, right and center. That worked out. Now, I kind of think it's the same thing with social media. It's got its responsibilities, but it's just a magnifying glass to what people really like in some ways. What do you reckon, Jason?
There are parts of it that are magnifying glass, what people are really like. When you say really like, you mean really when they're wearing a hood and you don't know who they are? Is that what we mean by what they're really like? Maybe when we're anonymous, it is who we really are.
Yeah.
But in a regular society where that's not the case, the way we actually really are to other people is not that. Also, I think when you have an algorithm that's explicitly trying to create something, that's not what we are really like. That's not what that is. I like what Scott Galloway said. He said, Sheryl Sandberg's telling women to lean in while knowingly hurting women on the platform.
Yeah.
Nice. So like, I don't know that all this-
Lovely, is really isn't it? Charming,
how we,
isn't it?
Or how we want to be. And even if it is what we really are, human beings- Is who we really are, our base nature, is that what we want society to be like? Or is the part of the point of society to be better than whatever those base things are? Or religion, or, you know, or any country, et cetera. Isn't that, like, we wouldn't need all that stuff if human beings just already believed in these and acted like this. We wouldn't need all these rules. So, no, and in the best case, it helps the best of human nature come out, which it also does, interestingly, right? Like, we also have people helping out each other, seeing things that we think are bad and wrong, and then gathering together about it. It also is that. So I think it is a platform where we can be our best, and also sort of not only can we be our worst, but unfortunately, sometimes it promotes the worst, which is different from just allowing it. So is it hard to do? Hell yes. Like the fact that social media doesn't have it all figured out, I don't think that is an indictment. The question is, like, are you trying to make it better? So in Facebook's case, the answer has been no. In fact, you knew how bad it was and we're not trying to make it better. That's my problem with it. Not that there's issues. Of course there are. What are you trying to do? I think that intent and that what you're and whether you're making progress, that to me is the relevant question. And so, you know, is it too little too late that they're releasing it now? Yeah, maybe, but also it is better late than never because it's, you know, perhaps it can be useful. Perhaps it can cause this conversation again, which is good. Ultimately, though, the organizations have to decide to give a crap. And if they don't, it doesn't matter. Like the information is public, it's not public. They're not going to do anything about it. Now, the good news is, maybe those particular people that are getting hurt aren't on Facebook anymore, but they're on Instagram, which is Facebook. And so like it's out of one into the other, I suppose. But yeah.
Could be worse. They could be on TikTok, couldn't they? So there we go. Sorry. So Spencer, what did you think of this?
I mean, the two problems with social media in general and social networking over the last 20 years, the original promise was that to bring things together, things, create new relationships. But what we found over time is that people were not required to do their actual identity. Their behavior in social network settings is completely different than in real interaction. Yes, there are people that have effects in their personalities, mental problems, where they literally are antisocial or in a lot of accidents.
There's something going wrong with your sound, actually.
Really?
Oh, it's better now.
Is it all right? Is everybody else hearing it?
Yeah.
Is it better now?
Sorry.
We've seen examples of where people in social settings are allowed to be trolls because they're hiding behind a fake name or something else. But the second part of it is that we've really not disincentivized corporate malfeasance or bad behavior. The people who are hired by corporations are incentivized to do the things that improve shareholder return. Full stop. They don't act in their jobs the way they would act with their children or their friends or their family. And the corporate structure of the United States is incentivizing that behavior all the way up the tax chain to the point where we have these arguments about good for society versus trickle-down economics versus this or that. Until we fix the structure that allows human beings to interact, even in the corporate way, with full corporate and personal responsibilities tied together, we're not going to see a change. And I don't mean that the CEO of Facebook or CrowdStrike should be responsible if somebody posts some crazy stuff on their networks. What I mean is that there needs to be a change of the incentive system of giving everything to shareholders at the expense of children and families and human beings and normal interactions, because we've really lost something. By the way, Mark, there was a time when the rest of us had no computers. We would talk to people. And our real
more shocking when I talk, when I have like relatives and I talk about a real physical phone or there was cassettes. They don't even know what the hell I'm talking.
I'm saying
about.
Is a Gen Xer as a child of the 60s.
By the way, he's 30 if my math is right. So like
28.
You yourself be even older.
That's why you were founder. I can see now, Jason, why you were the founder of WP.
Mark, I could be your father. There was a time when people learned to interact with human beings because there was real immediate consequences and feedback. You learned how to interact and find interactions and be a certain way. And so I think one thing which is optimistic to me, everything in society, I'm a student of history, everything in societies that have come and gone have demonstrated that the waves of change are about 30 to 40 years of cycle. If you have a society that lives through this, we see this in clothing and other trends. The 35 to 40 year cycle of my generation, I feel, is coming back. So I was listening to Rachel Peterson, who is very good at social media marketing, saying things like, the human part of the equation is coming back. The personal relationship part, trust factor. And as one who puts that as my front running banner, I couldn't be more pleased, because the backlash is what we need of enough people to say, I don't want this anymore. This 20 year thing they promised was going to be good, but it's destroyed my family or destroyed my relationships. I hate my cousin because he's an asshole on TikTok. And my boomer parents are idiots because they posted this thing about somebody and so forth. I think people are done with that. And I think a lot of people would like to return to a, can we just get, you know, along?
And oh, that's why he keeps plugging.
That's
your cool. There we go. I worked that one out. There we go. We're doomed. I'm English, so I think we're doomed anyway. So I think we end it now because definitely the panel got better things to do. So Jason, what's the best way? He's looking at state of shock.
Better check who your sister is, Mark. Because there should be a lesson for you. Don't worry,
Jason.
Going to work out the family tree.
Don't worry, Jason. You can have that discussion with WP Engine's PR department in a couple of days' time. So, Jason, what's, what's the best way for people to find out more about you, Jason?
asmartbear.com.
All right, there we go. I'm sure you're prepared for that interview for the PR department. So there we go. Mark, young Mark, yeah. What's the best way for people to find out more about you?
If you just go to mjs.bio, my links are there. Appreciate it as always. Thank you guys so much. This was great.
Yeah. Mummy Heather. So, Mummy Heather, what's the best way for people to
find? You can find me online everywhere at Hedriel and Hedriel.com.
There we go. And the only Spencer Forum. And he had a few things to say in this episode.
Today was an example of some intelligent dialogue, which is unfortunately very sparse in today's, you know, mudslinging environment. I think if more people would just sit down and talk about stuff and
come after that,
take it down to a 9 instead of an 11, we'd get more done.
Oh no, you're gonna be
bad. You can find me.
You want to discuss me, you're gonna be easy to tie this.
You can find me at automotive.com/ I just got bought. No, wait. WP Launchify for now and probably forevermore. And Spencer Foreman on social.
Right, it's fantastic. It's been a great chat. We're gonna end it now. Jason needs to lay down and ponder why he ever came back on this. Probably the last time we ever see him again, but there we go. But he's a brave soul, so is Mark. We appreciate him coming on the show. I've enjoyed the discussion. My English, I call it humour. Many don't get it. I think the panel got it and the guests. We will be back next month with another outrageous WP Tonic Roundtable show. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.